Welcome to the Planning Committee of the 28th of July 2020. Just a few housekeeping notices that we have to go through. So I will introduce the committee to you in a moment. If I can ask that all councillors leave their cameras on and that you're muted while somebody is talking and you unmute when you are asked to. You'll use your raise hand function, and if we can keep the chat function not in use, that would be lovely, thank you very much. There'll be one person speaking at any one time. If at any time someone enters and I'm not sure who that individual is, we'll confirm that and then carry on with the meeting. So if you want to raise your hand, we all know where the button is on the participants bit. Should any aspect of a council's remote participation fail, we'll adjourn and ascertain whether they can get back in very quickly. And then we will restore everything as we can do. If you're referring to a specific report page or slide, it would be helpful so that our officers can find exactly where you're discussing. And if you have a disclosable interest, can you declare that when we state? And then you'll be asked to leave that part of the meeting. When we're voting, a roll call of the members will be made in alphabetical order. And if you can state whether your vote is for, against, or abstaining, and then I will state whether that motion has been carried or not. At the end of the meeting, I will close it and will be asked to hang up promptly. So if I just introduce myself, I'm Councillor Vicky Gould, I'm Chair of this committee. We also have Councillor Chris Sylvester, who is the Vice Chair. We have our Head of Service, Sal Khan. Our Planning Manager is Ashley Baldwin. Legal representation is through Sherry Grant. Our Democratic Services Officer is Monica Henchcliffe. And our Planning Officers today are Carrie Chandler and Barbara Toy. So, in terms of who we have present, we have Councillor Ashcroft, Councillor Barker, Councillor Brady, Councillor Bilks, Councillor Faulkner, Councillor Hall, Councillor Lamb, Councillor Legg, Councillor McGarry, Councillor McKiernan, Councillor Sylvester, and Councillor Toon. So we'll go on to the agenda items. Are there any apologies for absence?
There are no apologies, Chairman.
Thank you. Any declarations of interest then, please? Councillor Ashcroft.
Yeah, can I declare a private interest on both applications, please?
So you will remove yourself from the two applications that we've got?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Right, we move on to agenda item three. Can we have an acceptance of the minutes from the last meeting, which was the 23rd of June? And can we have a proposer for that? Councillor Legg? And a seconder, Councillor McGarry. Thank you. And if we can go to the name vote then, please.
Councillor Gould.
And for.
Councillor Ashcroft.
For.
Councillor Barker.
For.
Councillor Brady.
For.
Councillor Bill.
For.
Councillor Faulkner.
For.
Councillor Hall.
For.
Councillor Lamb.
For.
Councillor Legg. Councillor Legg.
Four.
Councillor McGarry.
Four.
Councillor McKiernan.
Four.
Councillor Sylvester.
Four.
And Councillor Toon.
Four.
That's Gary Chair.
Thank you for that. And if we move on to agenda item four. There any urgent business matter to be brought to committee?
There are none, Chair.
Okay, thank you so much. So we move on to our applications for Planning Commission then. So item 5.1, which is P2019-00258. And if I can ask Carrie to please present this to the group.
Good afternoon, committee. Just bear with me while I share my screen. So the first application on the agenda this afternoon is P2019-00258, and that's at Branston Lees, land south of Branston, otherwise known as, and that will be phase 5. And we're looking at an outline application for the erection of up to 120 dwellings and associated works, including details of access. So this afternoon, we're looking at the principle of up to 120 houses and the access. Appearance, scale, landscape and layout will all be reserved for a future application. So it's only the principle and the access that we're looking at. This slide just shows the application site boundary. We'll put a bit more context to that with some of the photographs further on in the presentation. I think to note on here is the that we're within the settlement boundary. And you've got Branston Village Centre at the top there. Here's the aerial view, which might put a bit more context to it. You've got Branston Water Park to the other side of the A38. And you've also got a railway line that runs along the eastern sort of boundary. And then the River Trent there, again, Branston Village at the top, and then Branston Interchange, the A38 up there. So this site falls part of a sustainable urban extension that was approved back in 2013. The sustainable urban extension included permission for up to 660 houses and employment uses and a local centre. It was granted in outline, and then we've had phases of reserve matters coming forward. So we have phase 1 residential up at the top there in Branston. We have phase 2, which is majority completed now, I think. And then phases 3 and 4 come through committee in August 2018. So you have phase 3 was being built out by Bellway, and then phase 4 is currently under construction. This application site forms some extra land that was within the residential zones on the original outline consent, but obviously because they've had consent for 660 houses, no more consents for houses can be provided under the original outline, hence this application. Again, this site shows the original outline application, but it also includes land for this side of the railway as well. The location plan, so because we're just looking at this site in outline, this is all that we'll be approving, basically, the location plan, which shows the red line going up to the highway, which links, this is a spine road that goes through land south of Branston and connects down at the southern end with the A38. The developers or the applicants have provided an indicative layout, so we know roughly that 120 houses would be able to be integrated into the site. The in terms of this, we wouldn't be approving this plan. This is just demonstrating that the houses could be accommodated along with the parking and so on. So the reserve matters, a separate application may come forward in the future showing a different layout or what have you, but this just demonstrates that how it could look. This plan shows the pedestrian walkways through the development. So you've got phases 3 and 4 here and here, and this shows how we have tried quite hard to make sure that it's actually a really well-linked development, even though it's a whole new sustainable urban extension to Burton. On the original outline consent, we approved a phasing plan, and the phasing plan, so the pink area is basically, that's residential, all above, or everything north of that pink area, including the pink area, was approved for residential. So the application site falls within an area that's previously been consented for residential development.
So we've had some drone shots from St Modwen's, which are quite helpful to show some of the development carrying on. I think phase four is well underway now. And this blue star, somebody did ask a question this morning about where the nearest play area is. So our site is located down here, the southern end, and there's a play area, that's the nearest play area, and it's located at the bottom of phase two, next to the swale and the sort of open walkways that surround that. So we've got some photographs of the current development. So this is the spine road that going through phase two. And then this is a spine road view looking south. Obviously, because phase four is under construction, I couldn't get any further than that. But you can see the employment units, which are south of the application site, in the background there. This is a view from the south end of the spine road. So I got to that by going through the employment units, the access off the A38, sorry. And so the site would broadly sort of be around this location here. Quite hard to put context on, but the railway bridge will come further in my discussions on this presentation. That's quite important because that links up to an area of open space at the other side of the railway. So I think one of committee asked a question about open space this morning. And basically, all this land to the side of, to the sort of eastern side of the railway is in the ownership of the applicants. And this blue area is all open space that's been kind of upgraded as part of the original consent for the original sustainable urban extension. There's other works proposed on there, such as reprofile in the river, which I think connects up with the flood defences for the development and so on. And there's also wetland area and tree planting and so on. And the development itself does have green walkways going through it, so there is a bit of open space in there. And then another question this morning was about the playing pitch requirement and what the definition of overplay is in the context of my report. So overplay basically is what the slide says. It's when the pitchers have a limit of how much play they can take before they need to be sort of before their quality starts to diminish and they become adversely affected and people won't use them anymore. So to address overplay, money can be spent creating new pitchers or the better management or maintenance of existing pitchers. And the Burton West area, where the Section 106 money would be directed, comprises of these wards shown on the slide. And the priorities for this ward are to improve the quality of overplayed football pitches, to create capacity at Shopnell Leisure Complex, and to create capacity at Fox Hayes playing fields. So this is where the money would be effectively collected as part of Section 106 and expended. We did talk about public rights of way this morning. So these are the public rights of way from Staffordshire County Council. This little link here is the bridge that we saw on the earlier slide. So the site is basically across here. So we wouldn't affect any public rights of way. However, on there is a walkway that kind of goes along the bottom of the site that wouldn't be affected by these proposals. So in terms of Section 106 contributions, the following contributions are sought. Now, there has been viability testing done by the council's independent viability experts, and there was a shortfall, as quite often is these days, but the shortfall is that the applicants have asked for the shortfall to be limited to affordable housing. So that's set out in my report. But in terms of what we would get from this development, we would still get 16 affordable houses on site and an off-site contribution of £255,000. Now, the original request for that was £960,000, so that's where the shortfall from the viability testing comes through. In terms of education, they would get their full contribution of £498,947, and the playing pitch money that I've referred to a couple of slides back, that would that the full payment towards that as requested would be given, which would give us a maintenance of a 20 over a 20-year period. Healthcare provision has been fully met with £50,400, and refuse containers to be provided at £75 per dwelling is also met. There's also been quite a lot of work done on this application regarding the impact on the local highway network of having an extra 120 houses on this development, and how that impacts not only the local roads but the strategic A38 as well. So in terms of that, they've the Highways Authority and Highways England have come to an agreement, and they've requested a figure to improve Branston interchange, and then we've got a travel map plan monitoring fee in there as well. So that comes to £122,000, and that will be fully met by this proposal. So turning to the committee report, there are no technical objections raised as set out in the report, and in particular drainage and the lead local flood authority were happy, the environment agency were happy, and conditions have been put on where necessary to approve technical details. Branston Parish Council have raised objections in relation to dust issues associated with construction across the wider site. The environmental health team have been working with the developers during the construction process, and we do have a condition attached to ensure that a dust management plan is provided and adhered to during construction. And the Parish Council also raised questions about the improvements to Tate and Hope Brook. If I could just touch on that. So condition 22 is the original outline for the whole sustainable urban extension, set out a range, requested a range of measures to be adhered to, and the range of measures includes sort of flood barriers, raised embankments, woodland planting and so on, and that's on that area to the opposite side of the railway. The majority of the required works, I can confirm, have been completed where necessary. They've been completed, but the two areas remaining are woodland planting and river braiding and woodland structural planting, and that's currently being dealt with by the Environment Agency because they have to issue permits, etc. And I would say as well, the Environment Agency haven't raised any objections to this proposal, so they are content with that the improvements to Tate and Hill Brook are being carried out as set out in the original approval. We did receive no comments from ward members. Three local residents raised objections. The impact on the character of Branston, overdevelopment, lack of public facilities, green space, highways impact and increased pollution. And the update report also refers to a further comment from a member of the public about the highways impacts and the construction workers parking up in Branston, which will be referred to our enforcement officer in the sense of the existing development. But in terms of this proposed development, we do have a construction management plan set out as a condition, so we'd need to see details, and again they would need to be adhered to during the construction process. In terms of policies, we've assessed the application against the MPPF, the local plan, the Branston neighbourhood plan and all the relevant SPDs. In principle, the site forms residual land within the original outline consent where residential development was already agreed. The site is considered to be in a sustainable location within the settlement boundaries and will provide us with some windfall housing to play a part in meeting our housing requirements. Off-site financial contributions have been secured, and in principle, the scheme is considered to be acceptable. The other priority that we're looking at in this application is the details of access and highway matters. In terms of that, the application is supported by a transport assessment and a travel plan. Likely traffic generation has been calculated and agreed, and it's been concluded that the development will cause no harm to the strategic road network. The financial contributions towards improvements to the Branston interchange have also been secured as part of this application. In terms of the access arrangements, which is basically the main spine road that runs through the development, this has seemed to be acceptable in highway safety terms, and adequate car parking provision can be accommodated within the site. Again, the actual nitty-gritty of the car parking to serve each dwelling would come forward at the reserve matters stage. In terms of design and impact on the character and amenity of the area, these matters are reserved and will form the necessary reserve matters application, which would be reported to planning committee in due course. In terms of the historic environment, there are no impacts on heritage assets. Flood risk and drainage, no objections have been raised by the lead local flood authority, the Environment Agency and Severn Trent. Conditions are attached to make sure that we meet with their requirements. So in drainage terms, the scheme is acceptable. In biodiversity terms, the site is pretty barren at the moment. There's no trees, etc. on it. And there'll be biodiversity enhancements as part of the proposals. In conclusion, the proposal complies with the relevant national, local and neighbourhood planning policies and the requirements set out within supplementary planning documents. In terms of engagement, we've worked proactively with the applicant to secure a development that meets with the requirements of the national planning policy framework. And in conclusion, the recommendation is to approve, subject to the conditions set out in the report and the Section 106 agreement, which would secure the financial contributions of the scheme. That concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Kerry. Can I just confirm that we have no public speakers for this item?
No, we don't, Chair.
So I can open this straight out to our committee then. Do we have anyone who wishes to make the first point? Councillor Barker.
Yes, my concerns really are about the having your cake and eating it almost. We agreed 660 dwellings on this whole site. They've already been built, and now we're trying to cram an extra 20% into an area in the bottom corner, purely and simply for a bonus, a profit. If you look at the indicative layout, we've virtually put in a set of terraced houses, and I just can't see that this is, you know, good planning policy on our part. The open space, as Councillor Hall referred to this morning on the site visit, is across over the railway. I mean, surely if we've learnt anything during this COVID outbreak, that people need to be able to walk around where they are, not crammed in a small area. So I'm concerned about the the density, I suppose, really. It says 23 dwellings per hectare, but it's way denser than we originally agreed when we gave the outline for the whole site.
Thank you for that, Councillor Barker. Have you got any comments to come back on that one then, Kerry?
Yeah, I appreciate that. You would end up with sort of 780 houses on what we originally approved of 660. However, this is an area of land that would remain undeveloped because of the limitations of the original outline consent. This application is for up to 120, not 120 set in stone. There's a lot that has to be demonstrated in a reserve matters application. Yes, it would increase the overall site density, but we still have control over the density of the application site that we're looking at today. In terms of, I don't think we could resist this application, I have to be honest. It complies with our planning policies.
Thank you, Kerry. Councillor Barker, anything to come back on?
Let some of the others speak. I'll come back in a bit if I may.
Okay. Councillor Debs.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Providing access over this rail bridge to the open land, this might be something for the reserve matters. But we could do with a convenient access onto the footpath to go over the bridge from this side so that people could have easy access over the railway. That would obviously depend on the configuration of the properties and how easy it was to get onto that footpath. You think, would that be something for reserve matters?
Yeah. So that would be something that we would have to really look into at reserve matters stage. It's not something that we could secure at this stage. I mean, if committee are minded, you could add an informative to say, this is what you'd like to see come forward at reserve matters stage. I don't know if that's something that you'd like to consider.
I'd be quite willing to bring it up, because it will depend a lot on the configuration of the properties. Because if you solve one problem about putting a way through, that might not suit very well with the people who live there. So I mean, I think we need to look at the layout and fit suitable access through to that bridge. A sympathetic layout for the people who actually live there as well. So I think certainly we often see it on these applications up to 120, and we all automatically assume that that's what we can ask for. But I think on this particular case, certainly, I think we should treat it as a blank sheet of paper and put the houses as we see fit into the scheme and the surrounding area, which includes the open space. So if an informative will help, I think it should be looked at. Because if it comes as part of the plan, we haven't got to fight to add on to it, or we could move it. But if it's not on at all when the indicative comes, then it's a lot more difficult to add it in, I would think. So I'll leave it to the planners and that. I mean, I think it'll be useful thought to put in their heads that they need to put in some kind of access onto the footpath by the railway so people can access the bridge over. But I'm open to the expert's views on that.
Gary, would you like to come back on that?
Yeah, I mean, that is, at the end of the day, it is something that we will have to look at reserve matters stage. As an authority, we've got quite a good connectivity through that estate, and I don't think we would want to reduce the quality of that by the last bit that's being tagged on, certainly. So that is something that we will definitely be looking at. If committee want to us to highlight that with the applicants, obviously, I think we can, you know, they're in attendance today, or we can put it on the decision notice to say, well, if you could defer the wording to officers, but just to highlight that suitable access should remain to the bridge. I mean, it is a public right of way, so they do have responsibilities anyway, in terms of keeping that access open and so on.
Yeah, but on the indicative plan, I can't remember, I tried to have a look, but I wonder whether it was facilitated in the indicative plan that they've presented to us.
Bear with me, I'll find it and share my screen. Yeah, so I'll just share my screen again just to confirm it. So this is the indicative layout again, and there's a pathway that runs down here, down this side.
Okay, yeah.
And that leads
back. Whereabouts is the bridge, roughly?
So the bridge is roughly here.
Yeah, so there would be a way of getting onto the path through this. I'm not saying I agree with the layout, but
yeah,
you have to make provision to get onto that footpath from the under the indicative plan. So that's what I was asking, really.
Thanks for that, Ken. If I can go to Councillor Legg then, please.
Thank you, Chair. My question again is breach related. I could not see from the photograph you supplied. Has the bridge got steps, or is it a disabled friendly bridge, please? Because I think provision ought to be made, seeing as the green space is going that side, the other side of the development, please.
So the bridge, from my site visit, is not wheelchair friendly or what have you. It is steps. Quite a few steps that lead over. There will be linkages at the other end of the site, which might be a bit more at the Branston Village end of the site, so you can access from that end. But at this end, we've got what's already there.
In terms of that, it's outside of this application that we're looking at. So whilst we can see we might want to have improvements, unfortunately we can't enforce that at this stage because it is outside of that planning line that we're looking at. Is that right, Kerry?
That's right. Yeah, that's
Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Legg. Councillor Faulkner, please.
Thank you, Chair. I did mention this morning on the site visits that I was interested in when the service development is triggered and whether we have got sufficient houses built or planned to actually trigger that development yet.
Yeah, sorry, Councillor Faulkner, you did ask that. I have looked at it. The original outline consent included a local centre and improvements to Clays Lane in the form of, I think, a pavilion, a playing pitches and a children's play area. So that's down at Clays Lane, sort of further into Branston towards Morrison's. The 600 square metre local centre, as some of you may be aware, have been built for some time. All the units are occupied. So in terms of the services that were approved as part of the original consent, they have all been provided.
I was under the impression, and I seem to remember, that there was a hotel and a clinic surgery, a doctor's surgery, and an old people's home within the original planning consent.
Not on this original outline consent. The actual description is on page 4 of my report. I think there have been other sites. I know Branston Lees, to the other side of the A38, includes quite a few of them facilities, but this specific site only provided for a local centre and improvements, the provision of the facilities at Clays Lane.
Okay, thank you.
Sherry, did you want to come in on that?
Sorry, it was just a point I was going to make as regards to Councillor Legg's point, but Kerry covered it for me, so thank you.
Okay, thank you. Have we any further comments to make on this application? Councillor Barker.
Thank you once again, Chair. Yes, I'll go back partly to my report, partly to Councillor Legg's point, which I was trying to make, is that there isn't any facility on that side of the river for people like, you know, I mean, I'm a carer for my mother. There's no way I could get her over the top of that bridge. I want an open space in the area that they live in for the people to enjoy. And when it comes to the, as I say, it's like a bonus prize, this, for the developers. And then to come back and say they can't afford all the Section 106 money when this is a pure and simple bonus, I think that's a bit harsh as well. But, you know, I suppose, as Kerry said, it's a piece of land that will not get developed. I just feel that it's going to be overdeveloped, and I know it comes at the final stages, but I think to, let's say, a maximum of 120 at this stage, we could perhaps reduce their expectations a little. That's what I'd like to see.
Kerry, would you like to come back on that?
So the application before us is for up to 120 houses. So I think we've set our expectations quite high in that what we want to see from the development. And what I would say is that the wider development works quite well in terms of sort of the open areas around the swales and so on, and the green walkways. So there is open space included within the sort of residential element of the scheme. Despite there being a sort of, I think it's something like 60 hectares across the other side of the river. I appreciate what you're saying about this end, it's not as accessible. However, that's what we're dealing with at this stage in time. In terms of the applications that will come forward, we will set the bar high, and obviously it will be reported back to yourselves. I think we've got a clear view on what we want to see on this site. But at this stage, that's what we're being asked to make a decision on.
whether or not the principle of 120 houses on this site is acceptable.
Thanks for that, Kerry. Ashley, would you like to come in?
Just to reiterate some of the points there, Chair. So in terms of the numbers, obviously, committee have got to make a decision based on what's in front of them. And ultimately, the test is the local plan. I think Councillor Barker alluded that originally in the sense of that the planning policy in front of us. And ultimately, what Kerry's put together in the committee report is that it's compliant with the local plan. So let's say, yeah, that's your kind of sort of first test. And that's also relevant in terms of the open space. So we've assessed the application and consulted internally on open space and it's compliant on that front. In terms of the viability aspects, we did bring in an expert to work with ourselves and the applicant to look at the viability. And we've gone sort of back and forth. So I think what we've got in front of committee is as best as we possibly could in terms of the viability.
Thank you, Ashley. Sherry, would you like to come in?
Yeah, just my very, very quick point, just following on from that, is that obviously with regards to any footpaths or going over on the bridge, there is a no way. I mean, obviously that's owned by the railway, so there would be no way or any control that any developer could actually obviously do any amendments to make that, you know, wheelchair friendly or anything. It would be down to the railway line and the health and safety issues around that.
Thank you. Councillor McKinnon, please.
Thank you, Chair. It was just following on from Councillor Barker and Ashley Baldwin's comments on the 106 agreement. Can I just ask how the proportions are arrived at? It doesn't seem right that we lose the affordable housing as opposed to, you know, all the school places get granted. Can you just outline, Ashley, how it's arrived at and why it seems we're losing on one aspect only and all the others are being granted?
I can. Do you want to kick off, Kerry, and then I'll come in if needed?
Yeah, so in terms of... This is based on a recommendation to committee, basically. There is a shortfall on the There is a shortfall, and that's been viability tested, so we can't get any more money out of this site. And the applicants have put forward that the shortfall should be should rest with affordable housing. Given the affordable housing figures that have been granted across the remainder of the sustainable urban extension, this seems quite a reasonable approach to take. So yes, affordable housing is taking the hit on this application. However, there has been affordable housing provided across the remainder of the sustainable urban extension. So in this case, we're recommending that education, playing pitch, healthcare provision should get their full quota.
Okay, thank you.
It doesn't seem particularly just, as Councillor Barker says, if the entire site is essentially profit for them.
In terms of the profit coming from this development, that has been vigorously tested by our viability expert. And that's why, to be honest, that's why this application has taken so long to come to planning committee. And then in recent times, COVID, the impacts of COVID have also been thrown into the mix, which threw it out even more. So in terms of the viability expert confirms how much profit there is in this site, and this is the conclusion that we've come to as set out in the report.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so just to add to that, I think so the numbers, the total sort of quantum of contribution wouldn't change. Yeah, so that's what we're recommending based on advice from our expert. So I think the sort of question, as I understand it, is how have we sort of proportioned it out? And as Kerry sort of alluded to, looking at the wider side, that's why we've proportioned out on this basis. But at East Staffs, you don't have a policy where you sort of proportion out where there is a shortfall. So it is open to sort of suggestion in the sense of how we do it. So in other cases, what we've done is when there's a shortfall, we've equally distributed that shortfall across all of the different Section 186 requirements. So that is an option. But what we're recommending is, as we sort of suggested in the committee report, that in this case, it's the affordable housing that sort of takes the bigger hit with the other sectors getting their full contribution.
Thank you, Ashley. Sherry, would you like to come in?
I just really wanted to make a point on, obviously we're saying this is an add-on to the development that is just a profit-based. I just really wanted to clarify that obviously this is being built out by quite a lot of developers, so I don't think we can make that assumption as part of the deliberations.
Thank you. Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you, Chair. Like Councillor Barker and Councillor McKeon and I have reservations in terms of the allocation of affordable housing. And I have said it at several of our planning committee meetings where affordable housing has not been met, and we've always been told, well, we will get it in the future on another development. And yet again, we are having affordable housing being pushed back for another future development. I would like to know exactly how many affordable homes have been allocated across the whole of that site and whether we've actually achieved our affordable homes requirements or not. Until I know that, I would be very unhappy in actually saying yes to this development.
Okay, Kerry, can you come in on that one?
Yeah, so across the other 660 consented houses, 99 affordable homes have been provided. I think 26 of that was as off-site contributions, and the remainder was are being provided in bricks and mortar on the site. So you have a total of 99, which is 15%, which was policy compliant, obviously, at that time when that was approved prior to our existing local plan.
So are you saying we have to abide by that prior approval when it was before our existing local plan, and we can't actually insist on the latest requirement?
So in terms of the latest requirements, as set out in the report, it would be 40 houses out of the 120.
Across the whole site rather than just this one.
So we can't backtrack that original outline consent and all the reserve matters that have been approved. We can't change that now.
Okay, so we can only change it on this one that we're looking at.
We can only assess affordable housing on the application that's before us today.
Okay, that means we've got a shortfall of over £700,000, which is close to 18 affordable homes. And we are in deficit in terms of our affordable homes in East Staffordshire, and I am very unhappy about the fact that we've got yet another development, as Councillor Barker has said, that is a bonus, and yet we can't actually arrange to get all our affordable homes.
Would you like to come back on that, Kerry? You're on mute.
In terms of affordable homes, across Burton, I'm not convinced that we are under-providing at all. I mean, a couple of months ago, I brought, over the last few months, we've brought some quite big applications, which are 100% affordable housing, to committee. In terms of this, yes, there is a deficit, and we're saying that the deficit, we're recommending that the deficit is in the affordable housing off-site contribution. Yes, it is £705,000. Now, if committee thinks that we should spread the risk of that, or not the risk, sorry, but spread that across the other requirements as we've done in other terms, so we could take some money from, we could take some of that from education or healthcare, but in viability terms, there is a shortfall on that site of £705,000. In terms of what is policy compliant.
Any more comments from our committee? Councillor Hall.
Thank you, Chairman. I was just going to propose that we permit with the conditions in the report.
Okay, so we have a proposal. Do we have a second for that? And we have Councillor Toon seconding that. Thank you very much. Any further discussion? Councillor Legge.
Thank you, Chair. Can I just make sure that the reserve matters will be coming back to the Planning Committee, please?
Kerry.
Yes. I think we've undertaken with committee before that any outline that is granted by Planning Committee, then you should, by all rights, get to see the reserve matters that come in. And the reserve matters can come in as one application. It might come in as two or three applications. Because you could submit an application for sort of landscaping separately to the layout or what have you. But yeah, I can say that it will come back to Planning Committee for final resolution.
Thank you.
Can I ask then that we go to the name vote?
Councillor Gould.
I will vote for.
Councillor Ashcroft. Oh. Councillor Barker.
For.
Councillor Brady.
For.
Councillor Bill.
For.
Councillor Faulkner.
Abstain.
Councillor Hall.
For.
Councillor Lamb.
For.
Councillor Legge.
Four.
Councillor McGarry.
Four.
Councillor McKeown.
Four.
Councillor Sylvester.
Four.
And Councillor Toon.
Four.
That's carried, Chair.
Thank you for that. So that motion has been carried with approval subject to the conditions and the 106 agreement. Right. If I can asked for our next application then to be set up, and then we will have a very quick break if anyone needs it while that's being done. So if I just give you a couple of moments to do what we need to, thank you very much.
ship.
Right, so if I reconvene our meeting then, we're on application on agenda item 5.2. So it's P2020-00253. And if I can ask Barbara to present to the committee, please.
Good afternoon. So this application is application P2020-00253. For land west of Uttoxeter, the A55 pass. This is an outline application for residential development, employment uses in B1, B2 and B8, a residential care home, local centre including A1, A2, A3, A4 and A5 uses, and non-residential institutions. With associated green infrastructure and engineering works, means of access of the A50. Just to clarify, this is an outline application for the principal of this development, with access only for consideration at this stage. Appearance, landscaping, layout and scale would be for future determination under reserve matters application. Should also be noted that there are no housing numbers included in the development description. Sites outlined in black and sit to the south of the A50. It's approximately 16.67 hectares and lies within the settlement boundary. This forms the northern part of the sustainable urban extension that has already been approved in this location to the west of Uttoxeter. The original outline consent was in 2015 and included residential development, employment and a local centre. There's been subsequent reserve matters application which has approved 700 houses, a previous application for the employment uses, and a first school has recently been approved on the land all to the south of the current site. The A522 roundabout identified here provides the access into the site and leads up to the further island for access onto the A50. There are two existing spurs already built off the A522 island, which could provide access into the site here and access into the spine road that will follow through to the south of the site. There was a query raised at the site visit this morning regarding the wards. The application actually falls within two wards. The blue area is the Abbey Ward and the yellow is Heath Ward. And just to clarify that all members and consultees for both wards have been notified and consulted on the application. Aerial photograph just shows the surrounding land as well as the application site and shows the start of the construction of phase 1 and 2 to the south of the site. This map shows the phasing of the development of the sustainable urban extension. The yellow area is phase 1, which is well under construction. A number of the properties are now occupied. The blue area here is phase 2, which includes an area of open space and playground. The purple area here is the site of the first school that was approved at the beginning of this year. This plan identifies in yellow the employment land that was approved in reserve matters back in 2018. The current application, however, looks to include the same area of employment land, but adding additional residential development as well as the local centre to the site. Hence, we have a new outline application. Just identifies the site within the main sustainable urban extension. So it is the northern section, and it's now known as phase three. Although this is an outline consent with no numbers of properties identified in the development description, access only for determination, the applicants have submitted an illustrative master plan, although this wouldn't form part of any approval. This does show how employment, additional residential and the local centre could be provided within the site, showing the access through here into the Spine Road that already has approval and would run all the way through to Bramshaw Road, and the other access off the A522 roundabout into the site. Some photographs to provide some context. This is the existing spur off the A522 roundabout, which goes to the south, which would link into the Spine Road. It should also be noted there are a number of trees and hedging within the site, but there is a condition attached to the report to ensure that trees are protected and that additional landscaping would be provided. The traffic island here to the right, this is the access that we just looked at in the previous photographs, and the access here would be the one into the main part of the development. This shows the houses already under construction in phase one and phase two that would link through from this new access. This is the Bramshaw Road end of the Spine Road going into phase one of the development. This is as far as the Spine Road goes north at the moment, up to where the houses under construction are. The site that we're looking at is up here further north. Right, consultation responses. There's no technical objections have been raised to the proposals from any of the consultees as detailed in the report. Utoxeter Town Council have raised objections in relation to additional congestion caused by the additional houses proposed. They've indicated that only phase one of the A50 improvement scheme has been implemented and that phase two remains unimplemented. Paragraph 10.11 of the report provides Staffordshire County Council Highways team's response to these objections. The phase one works have significantly improved the junction capacity and ability to accommodate both the original consent and the current proposals for the site. Highways did request additional information and data to supplement the transport statement submitted and are satisfied with the details that were submitted. Phase two of the A50 improvement works, which is known by Highways as Project B, is a Highways England scheme and is outside the control of Staffordshire County Council. No member comments were made on the application. One local resident has raised objection on the grounds of biodiversity, climate change, and wanted reassurance that affordable housing will be provided within the site. Policies, the application has been assessed against national policy, the local plan, Utoxeter neighbourhood plan and the relevant supplementary planning guidance. The principle of the development. An application site forms the northern section of the land west of Utoxeter Sustainable Urban Extension, where 700 houses, 10 hectares of employment uses, a first school, mixed-use local centre and green infrastructure have previously been approved. The proposals would now provide additional housing in this sustainable location. The 10 hectares of employment land form part of the council's employment land supply, and the local centre would provide local shops and services for the future residents and employees. The principle of the development is therefore considered acceptable and in compliance with policy SP7 of the local plan, and is considered appropriate additional development of the sustainable urban extension. The only items for consideration on this application are the principle of the development and access to the site. Staffordshire County Council Highways are satisfied that the evidence submitted that the access proposed from the existing spurs off the A522 roundabout linking into the approved spine road through the sustainable urban extension is appropriate and raises no highway safety concerns. Items such as street hierarchy, road construction, car parking, visibility displays and construction management plan will all be considered under future reserve matters applications. Section 106. There would be a Section 106 agreement attached to any consent to include affordable housing, education, open space, healthcare provision, refuse containers and common amenity area management scheme, which was included in the original outline consent in 2015. As this is an outline consent with no numbers identified, there are no specific values associated with the contributions at this time. The Section 106 agreement would contain a formula for calculation of the contributions at the reserve matter stage when numbers are known. In conclusion, the proposal complies with national, local and neighbourhood planning policies and the relevant requirements of supplementary planning documents. The authority have worked closely with the applicants on this scheme to ensure the best possible outcome. The recommendation is to approve with conditions subject to Section 106 agreement as per the report. That concludes the presentation.
Thank you for that, Barbara. Now, we do have some public speaking, so if I can ask that Mrs. Marie Williams of the Town Council can be called to speak, please.
Just bear with my chair, just one moment.
Hello, Mrs. Williams, can you hear me?
Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you clearly. Are you aware of our speaking policy?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
But are you aware of our speaking policy?
I am.
So you have 3 minutes and we will have on our screen a timer and we will see when you've got your time remaining. We'll let you know when that 3 minutes is up.
Thank you. Good afternoon. The Utoxeter Town Council welcomes the employment opportunities this application will bring and supports creation of a C2 residential care facility. The points we want to raise are affordable housing. Utoxeter has a need for affordable housing. Therefore, the Town Council asks the ESBC to work with the developer to provide a higher percentage of affordable housing than the 13% minimum currently offered and address the shortfall across the rest of the SUE. The local centre proposed as part of the scheme will enable future residents to access shopping services and health needs locally. Therefore, it would be a good opportunity to include affordable housing for the elderly and disabled. We also request that any balances commuted off-site are used to directly benefit Utoxeter and that Section 106 monies are reinvested in Utoxeter to contribute to affordable housing schemes
enhance the town centre and improve cycle routes. Sorry, can you still hear me?
Yeah, we can still hear you.
Yeah. Noise pollution. It is unrealistic to expect residents to stay indoors and keep windows closed to reduce the noise from the A50. Therefore, the developer needs to use trees and landscaping to help mitigate noise pollution. Ground gas. Can you clarify and confirm that gas protection measures in the PGA technical note have been proven to be safe and effective in this situation? Roads and access. The transport statement from the applicant states that there has been no assessment of the highway impact from industrial use because of the A50 improvements. Therefore, there has been no assessment of the impact of industrial vehicles using the spine road. Traffic moving to and from Bramshill Industrial Estate and from the Stafford direction using the spine road to access these employment units or shortcut through to the A50 will impact on residents along that road and on the safe access to the proposed school. Furthermore, the scheme is completed and the routes, once the scheme is completed and the routes opened up, the non-implementation of phase two of the A50 improvement project will put additional pressure on traffic routes through Stramshall and Bramshall. We request an impact assessment of industrial traffic is undertaken by the developer and any necessary remedial steps form part of the next planning stage. Biodiversity. An ecological survey needs to be completed as part of the scheme and to incorporate wildlife-friendly measures in the future planning stages. These should tie in with the recommended native tree and hedgerow plantings to provide resources for native wildlife. Climate change. Town Council actively supports measures to reduce the effects of climate change and therefore materials used in this development should be energy efficient and use renewable resources. Lighting needs to be energy efficient and sympathetic to wildlife. Hard surfaces should be porous to mitigate flooding risks. That concludes my submission. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Mrs. Williams. If I can ask for our next speaker, and if we could have Christopher Timothy there, please.
Just one moment, Chair.
No problem. Hi, Mr. Timothy, can you hear me?
I've asked him to unmute and it's not. Oh, is it now?
Hi, Christopher, can you hear us?
I can hear you loud and clear. Can you now hear me?
Are you aware of our speaking policy?
I am.
Okay, so we're going to give you 3 minutes and Monica will put the time up for us. And if we've got that going, you can present to our committee. When you're ready, then.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chairman and members of the committee. If I could just respond to the comments that have been made by the Town Council. In terms of employment, members will be aware, as your officer already said, that this site already benefits from the approval of 10 hectares of employment through a reserve matters application, which is due to expire next month. So the highway implications of the proposed development have been wholly taken into consideration. St Modwen have wanted to bring forward this employment because there has been plenty of interest in the site, but obviously the delays in bringing forward the access onto the A50 and the A522 has meant that we've been unable to get onto site from that northern end of the site within the timescale of the current Reserve Matters approval, hence we've started that process again. In relation to noise, the application was supported by a noise survey. It is no doubt, as part of the Reserve Matters, further noise surveys will be provided. it is anticipated that it will be laid out so that the employment is alongside the A50, and that will, in effect, reduce the amount of noise. And I note from your report that there are no objections from your environmental health officer. In terms of ground conditions, the reports that have been submitted with the application have been prepared by responsible people who have been involved in the development of this site throughout. The previous use of this site was agriculture, so there's no suggestion of the site being contaminated in any shape or form. And again, you will note that your environmental health officer has no objections. In terms of the spine road, it is part of the outline, the original planning permission for the West Uttoxeter development, that there will be no HGV movements down the spine road. This is being prohibited. There are conditions in place for mechanisms to prevent this from happening. In terms of ecology, a full ecology survey has been undertaken on this site. It effectively updates all the ones that have been undertaken on the site to date. There is no issue of the site impacting upon ecology. There are conditions proposed by your officer that will lead to ecology enhancements on the site. In relation to affordable housing, St Modwins have undertaken on this site to do a policy compliance scheme, that is, provide you with the full 33% of affordable housing, and that is to be provided in accordance with a mechanism contained in your housing choice SPD. This area of additional land is being brought forward outside of the land, so it does not involve land that has been included within the formal and informal open space strategy that's been approved under condition 12 of the outline, so it's not impacted on the open space provision. It is also worth bearing in mind as a committee that this site is allocated for a sustainable urban extension to include a minimum of 750 dwellings. The outline previously only delivered 700 houses. The employment involved here, 10 hectares, is completely compliant with your local plan and the previous outline consent. So in summary, the proposed development is entirely in accordance with the policies contained in your local plan and supplementary planning documents, and I ask you to grant planning permission subject to the conditions and obligations recommended by your officers. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We seem to have had a confusion over the time on that one. Right. So we've now heard from our public speakers. Can I ask now for members of our committee to have their say? Councillor McGarry.
Thank you, Chair. I have got no problems with this application other than the spine road and the links that it makes from Bramshill Road right the way through down to the A50. We've all just had a member briefing with officers from Staffordshire County Council, where one of the things that they said is, you know, we must look at the safety aspects of any new road. And I just feel that we've just granted permission for a first school to be put right on that road as well. And I do believe no matter what mitigation you put in there in terms of not allowing any manufacturing vehicles to use that road, if they will get used, it will. It'll be a shortcut to Stafford and Stone, and then it'll be a shortcut to get onto the A50 from the other way. So I have got a problem with that spine road going all the way through the estate and the safety aspect of it. I basically just want to air my views over that, to be honest. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McGarry. Any further points? Bob, have you got something to come back on that?
Sorry, Chair, could I just add to that as well? In the application itself, Staffordshire County Council say it's deemed appropriate. What does appropriate mean when there's been no assessments done? That's, I've written that down, so I just wanted to make that point.
Barbara.
As you'll see from the planning history in the report, the spine road was granted full planning consent. It wasn't any reserved matters as a result of the outline. It was full planning consent that was granted for the spine road. in 2018. So the approval has been given for the link through from Bramshaw Road through to the A522 traffic island, and all the details would have been taken into consideration at that time for the commercial vehicle activity as well as the residential and the school, because they all formed part of the original outline consent. So they would have been taken into consideration. And I'm sorry, what was the last point?
Sorry, I was just going to come back on that, and that's absolutely fine, Barbara, that that's actually happened. Obviously, I wasn't part of the planning committee when that application was approved. But, you know, considering the member briefing we had earlier with officers on the highways team, it does say that, you know, communication is key. And, you know, we need to speak to officers in terms of making sure that the safety aspect is there. This estate is going to be, it's full of houses now. We're going to have an industrial site, which is absolutely wonderful, with shops or whatever is going to be down there. That's absolutely great. But the problem is we are going to have, that is going to be a thoroughfare, that road, that spine road is going to be a thoroughfare. And I just think that the safety measures haven't been looked at appropriately. And when it says that SCC have deemed it appropriate, I just, what assessments have they done to deem it appropriate?
Their comments are based on their assessment as well as the transport statement that has been submitted. The original statement submitted, the highways team wanted more data, and we've been back to the developers and their transport consultant to get more data from them, which has been submitted, and the highways team have assessed and considered that everything is appropriate for the original and for this additional development.
So highways have got no further comments to make, and they're happy with that, and they don't put anything else in place at this moment with the application.
Correct.
Thank you. So, if I can go to Bree first.
I just wanted to make a point just to go on back on that, is if Councillor McGarry could just have a look at the conditions, because there seems to be quite a lot of conditions that that even though they're saying it's deemed appropriate, they are conditions in there, aren't there, putting them to make sure that there is some sort of control about who uses the spine road or what types of vehicles do. And I think that's is that down in condition 7? That's quite a condition. I just wanted to refer you to that. So there is some mitigation that is in place.
Thank you, Sherry. Councillor Faulkner, please.
Thank you, Chair. It's just a matter of process. I mentioned this morning in relation to what ward it is and whether the ward members on the application that we are looking at are the proper ward members. And Barbara was going to check whether the boundary lines had changed and whether it was Abbey Ward or whether it is still Uttoxeter, and whether the ward members are the correct ward members on that document.
Councillor, we did have that clarified at the start of the presentation. It does fall within the two boundaries of the two wards. So it falls within the Heath Ward and with the Abbey Ward, and they've all been consulted.
So will that be changed to Abbey stroke Heath?
Just get Barbara to just confirm that that's what it says.
It should say Abbey and Heath Ward, because the boundary of the two wards goes right up the centre of the site. So I apologise for that. It pulled through automatically onto the report. Why it hasn't pulled through the second one, I'm unsure, but we will check up on that for the future. But I can assure you that all members and consultees for both wards were consulted.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Do we have any further comments that we want to make a point? Sherry, you still have your hand up. Is there anything further you have?
Apologies, no, I shall take my hand out. Sorry. Just want to, you do go to the vote if you remember that we do have a date sheet on this matter as well, Councillor Gordon.
So, do we have any further discussion on this before we put forward a motion? Do we have motions coming forward? Councillor Hall.
Seems to be my role today, Chairman. I propose a permit with the conditions set out in the committee report.
A second.
Thank you. Sorry, I've got Councillor Turner as a second, then, please. Okay, any further discussion on this before we call for a vote?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Councillor Toon. Nothing further to add on that. So we have got a motion then to approve with the conditions and the thoughts of the Section 106. And if we can name vote then, please.
Councillor Gould.
Four.
Councillor Barker.
Four.
Councillor Brady.
Four.
Councillor Bill.
Four.
Councillor Faulkner.
Four.
Councillor Hall.
Four.
Councillor Lamb.
Four.
Councillor Legg.
Four.
Councillor McGarry.
Four.
Councillor McKiernan.
Four.
Councillor Sylvester.
Four.
Councillor Toon. Thank you, Carrie Chair.
Thank you for that. We consider that application has been approved then, and if we have a quick recess of a couple of moments while I invite Councillor Ashcroft back to the meeting. Thank you. Wait for Councillor Ashcroft to join the meeting now. Wait on Councillor Legg. So getting back onto agenda item 6 then, can I request that you consider the appeals received and determined?
Noted, Chair.
So on to agenda item 7. Can I request that you've considered the planning permission circulated?
Noted.
Noted.
Yes. Thank you. Councillor McKiernan, you have a hand raised.
Yes, there's a couple of planning permission decisions in May, where I thought I would be in discussions with the officers concerned. This happened about 6 months ago again. I noticed the two decisions on Waterloo Street on the shops with the Duke of York Public House. Can I be informed before decisions are actually made, especially when I've been in ongoing discussion?
Who would you like to comment on that?
Do you want me to come in on that?
Please.
Sure. Yeah, that's fine. I'll mention it to the team, Councillor McKeon. Apologies for that. I'll send an email around just to make sure when members involved in discussions we're notifying yourself. But I'll pick that back up. But if you want to have a chat with me afterwards as well, by all means do so, to go through those specific ones.
Thank you. I mean, I did want to say thank you to Officer Barbara Torrey, because we've had discussions about healthcare provision, and she's been very communicative with me when she was able. I understand there are delays at times, and you can't always give information because it's not there, but when it is there, I would like to know.
Thank you for that, Councillor Kinnan. So we're on to the next part then. So I would like to move that in accordance with section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting, as it is likely, in the view of the nature of the nature of the proceeding, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in paragraphs of part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before each item of the agenda. And if I can now request that the public leave the room.